ġurnata tajba jiena Dr. Rebecca Daligonzi ser inkun ma'kom għal-din is-sija fuq Campus FM. Il-programm jismu Sostenibilità f'kull sezzjoni qed ikollna esperti differenti li qed jitkellmu fuq l-importanza ta' dan l-element. Pala lecturer fil-fakultà tal-ambjent mibni xtaqt li nitkellmu fuq suġġett attwali ħafna. Is-sostenibilità tapplika f'ħafna setturi fis-soċjetà, fis-settur ta' kostruzzjoni, skart, moda, ħwejjeġ, ikel, enerġija, trasport fost ħafna oħrajn. F'din is-sensiela se nkunu qed niddiskutu metodi biex inżommu lilna nfusna u l-istili tal-ħajja tagħna sostenibbli. Kif nibnu b'mod effiċjenti, kif tfassal biex tiżgura li l-ġenerazzjonijiet futuri jkunu jistgħu jgawdu l-ispazji. Kif niklu tajjeb mingħajr skart żejjed u kif inżommu l-attenzjoni tagħna fuq is-sostenibilità hekk nistgħu jekk l-ewwel nifhmu l-punt x'inhu. Illum il-programm tagħna ħajfoka fuq is-sostenibilità moda u ħwejjeġ. U miegħi fl-istudio għandi guest internazzjonali mistonja Lehtinen li llum ħadd titkellem ftit fuq dan il-suġġett fuq il-kunċett tagħha li qed tibni. Però bil-fatt li hija guest internazzjonali ħajkolli nitkellem bl-Ingliż għal din is-sija llum. So, for the purpose of this program, today I'll be speaking to the audience in English. Hi, Tonya, welcome on board. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
So, we have you today here in studio, and we're going to be talking about sustainability, the concept of clothing, and how the two can work together, and even fashion. So, the consumerist approach towards clothing and how it has affected our environment, what are the impacts, and so on and so forth. But before starting that, I'll ask you to introduce yourself and give yourself a bit of a background here so those who are listening to us will understand a bit better.
Thank you. Thank you. Very nice to be here. So I'm quite fresh in Malta. I've been here for 4 years, and actually the first time I came was in 1992 by yacht when I was young. And I've moved and settled here, and I run a small vintage and clothing shop called Vogue Exchange in Gozo. And I use that that shop and the leverage I get from that shop to talk about fast fashion and its impact on the environment and social impact, and to educate people and inspire people and just open those kind of dialogues.
Yes. In fact, the first time we met, it was really about an hour or two or three discussing inspiration,
yes.
Right? And the concept behind why we, first of all, love fashion so much. I join you. I join you in that. But apart from that, what's happening behind the scenes? And that we've come to see changes in fashion. For example, I was reading about Zara puts around 24 collections per year, which is a lot. It's very fast, which means that there's a lot of preparation for that. And a lot of material which gets also discarded eventually if it's not used, if it's not consumed. So I believe that at heart you must have a passion for the environment and also using fashion and material wisely in such a way that one can benefit once it's and also can be reused later on. Am I correct?
Yes, I'm very much an earth child.
Mm-hmm. Good. So it means you understand why it's important, right?
Yes, I think that clothing is very much a big part of our identity. Mm-hmm. It's very powerful in many ways because it crosses gender, it crosses race, it crosses cultures, and obviously it can identify you in where you work and what you do and what you stand for. So it's a very powerful subject, yeah.
And there's a lot of identity behind this, as you correctly said. So the colors we use, the styles, the choices we make are an expression of who we are, right? There's a personality, there's an identity behind that person, like whether you choose a branded item or not, or if you choose not to buy branded items just because you believe that you wouldn't want to spend a fortune on a small item, but you prefer to use and choose and be open to all sorts of options on the market. But apart from that, how do you feel that this concept is being introduced in Malta? Are people understanding why it's important to consider this? Why should we be sustainable about clothing in general?
I think that when I first started with Vogue Exchange, the feedback I got and the information I got was that there's a lot of stigmas around secondhand and vintage clothing, which were very much about charity vis-a-vis poverty, and also that it's unclean.
Mm-hmm. I see.
But I think that, and I've had young people coming enthusiastically into the shop and bringing stuff back saying, my mum said no. Mm-hmm. But I think that obviously with fast fashion being in the spotlight globally, mm-hmm. Its effect on the environment and the social impact, I think that the conversations are filtering into Malta, and there's a lot of active young people, and I think the language is also changing. There's people are becoming much more conscious mm-hmm. about their choices, but also there are more choices. Mm-hmm. There's more young people on Instagram selling secondhand clothes. There's much more of an interest, lots of pop-ups, mm-hmm. And yeah, so there is a definite positive shift, sure. I think, yeah.
And why do you think the initial understanding of a pop-up store, a vintage store, is a dirty item? Why should we go there?
I think it's not about the parts. I think it's just simply because it's been so related to poverty, like charity, I think, and also in a country like this or in China, where the middle class is, you know, really getting more powerful and growing. It's that time when you want to leave the secondhand and those used things, and you want to buy into what's new and what's trending. Uh-huh. So I think that it's very much the sort of the emerging middle class market has a big influence on that, I think.
I see. All right, this is very interesting to understand what is the mindset behind choices, like why shouldn't people opt for choosing secondhand items that have been used. Many times you can get different quality levels, right, because you can get something that is pretty much just sometimes used, not even used items. Sometimes people hand over goods yeah. that still have tags on them,
exactly.
You know, but sometimes you also find goods that are in still very good condition but slightly worn, which is something that can obviously be cleaned, sterilized, right, not sterilized, but what's the like a steam cleaner, like
yes.
something like that, and the clothes can easily be then redistributed in some way.
Yeah, and even if you find a good item, I think generally older clothes are the tailoring is better, the quality of the textiles is a lot better, and so even if you find something secondhand which may have a small damage, you know, mm-hmm. it's worth your while repairing it.
Yes,
and I think that well, I know for I haven't been buying new clothes for I would say 2 decades, yeah. and I still have a pair. I still have a pair of Reeboks, which from when I used to play squash, 1992. I remember I bought them for like about 12. Yeah. 12. It was marks in those days, and every time I wear them, young people literally come up to me and say, "Oh, that's so cool! You're so trendy."
that's brilliant.
Yeah. So, so that's I think brilliant. that and a lot of the clothes that I bought then I still wear. So I think with the Chinese, the fast fashion clothes, which are really made cheaply, made fast, made cheaply. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the secondhand market is getting a lot of that that clothing waste, which just doesn't last, and it's not really great mm-hmm. at all. It's but if you hunt around, you can find really fabulous
yes.
stuff.
Yes, and I know you're interested in upcycling, right? When you mentioned that you can take an item and try to improve it, so improvement is in your blood. Yes. So you like to take items and improve them, add accessories, add some shades of different buttons, or just change colors or material, or add lace, or is it something that you like to do, right?
Well, I think that I'm so busy with all the other things that I wish I had more time to be creative, but I always see it, and now I'm busy working with another designer on a couple of items, and I hope that will be fun. But I also invite interns to come and work at Vogue Exchange, and I've had some fabulous young people, which even with no proper training, they just have the inspiration and the eye, and they create really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that more and more people are starting to want to be more expressive about what they wear and be more personal. So you know, with the fast fashion industry, they literally subscribe to you, they're pushing it down your throat all the time, and they take away that independence, and I think when people discover secondhand, they suddenly have this freedom of choosing something that they want to say. True. And yeah, I think it's really great.
We should explain upcycling, however, what this is all about, because probably our listeners wouldn't know exactly what this means.
Okay.
So can you explain the process of upcycling and what happens there?
Well, I think the secondhand clothing industry has taken a lot of traction, and it's said to overtake fast fashion by 2030. So it's become a global like sort of trend. But I think upcycling, which is the remaking and restructuring and recreating of existing items, it's on the runways now. Even big brands like all the fashion designers, Stella McCartney, Valentino, they are going back into their dead stock stuff, which they into their archives, and bringing out things and remaking them. And I think that this is the way forward. It's sort of almost post-sustainable. Uh-huh. So that no new resources are being used at all. You just use what is already existing there and just modify it.
Yes. Shocking news, like fashion production makes up 10% of humanity's carbon emissions.
Yeah.
Which is really, really substantial.
It
also dries up water sources and pollutes rivers and streams. And about that, washing some types of clothes sends thousands of plastic bits into the ocean.
Yes,
which is really, really.
But I would like to talk a little bit about that. Yes, I think that. It's very hard to push numbers around, but we're talking about 100 million garments get made annually, and that's just a number. But if I ask you just to close your eyes for a minute, and think about that sort of quantity, and then try to look beyond that and see, you know, 20 million shoes are made, and when you start to dissect it a little bit, you think 20 million shoes, how many cows?
Yeah.
How many cows, and where are those cows? Who's feeding those cows? And you know, you start to really think about it. It's hard just to look at a number and think that's a lot, but you know, there's hundreds of millions of items going to landfill.
Yeah. Yes.
And just generally the fashion industry is very toxic environmentally, right from the growing of the cotton, or the sourcing of the viscose from rainforests, from wood, trees from the rainforests, or from animals which they need pastures, and rainforests are being taken down to create those things. We the water usage on the cotton on the cotton plantations, and aside from being a very thirsty crop, cotton needs a lot of pesticides and fertilizers, and those seep into waterways and into underground waters. But because it's such a viable crop, many countries divert water systems to their cotton growing areas, and that leaves communities without water and and then when we talk about the, you know, that's just the production. When we talk about the manufacturing of textiles, once again, those are usually done in developing countries where they don't have access to nuclear energy. They would use fossil fuels, which are very, very heavy pollutants on the air airways, and contribute to the, to our greenhouse gas emissions quite considerably. But also, if we think about all the beautiful bright colors which we have in every season, changing, those colors are dyes which are often filled with heavy metals, mercuries, arsenic, and other very toxic things. And aside from that, even our, like our cool, like the bleached denim things, that's bleachers. And then we have all clothes, they use fire retardants, formaldehydes. And, and because of lack of regulations in these developing countries, because, textile is such a, an important industry, they don't regulate it properly. And all of the effluent from these factories goes into our waterways. And that's, you know, killing ecosystems. Yes, and then you correct about, you know, the once it's the consumer and post-consumer side of it that we don't often think about. But the washing cycles, most of our clothes these days are will include some kind of polyester or nylon, and those are PET products. It's literally plastic, like your plastic drinking bottle. And in the washing cycles, the small bits break off. It's called lint. I'm sure you've seen it in your washing machine. Yes, and those go into the waterways. They say that there's a lot of research being done, and one out of every four fish has these plastics in, and they have no idea on how this is going to affect our global health. But yes, there's, and then of course the discarding,
the post use, which is something which worries me. I mean, concerns me, because, for example, research shows that an equivalent of one truck full of clothes is dumped every second.
Ah, yes, you know, it's, I actually,
which is really concerning.
I wish you had a calculator there, but I was just thinking about that because I wanted to say it. And on the taxi here, I had a group of students from Agencia Zaza, and they had their calculators out, and it's per second a truck load is dumped, and then we kind of worked it out. That's 60 truckfuls a minute. That's 3,600 truckfuls per hour. That's 86,400 per day. So your mind just boggles, yeah.
And just, I don't know, in today's context with so many environmental challenges that we're facing, with such global change that happens so fast. I mean, looking at these numbers, that doesn't quite fit. It just doesn't fit. I mean, we're saying, listen, what are we doing to our ecosystems? What are we dumping? Why? Why are we doing this to ourselves? I feel we're, that's the real question here. Because I think by real simple changes and understanding why the reuse of clothes can save people not just a lot of money and a lot of financial expenses, but also the environment from constantly raw materials being used and being, you know, thrown back once this fast fashion is over. Because a trend sometimes lasts, let's face it, what, 3-6 months max? And that's it. You probably won't want to wear it again. But I mean, for trend followers, but yes. I guess, why? Why should we look at the situation in that way and not try to find the solution to it? And there are solutions. You know,
there definitely are, and I think that, you know, people have made a big headway, you know, about their food choices, and there's but still on fashion, we you know, this sort of addiction to really that is we have to change. There's simply one way to go, and that is to cut production outputs by 80%. Literally, that And I think that people don't really realize if the fashion industry is like the second biggest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions, we are literally wearing the solution which could change the direction of our lives, of our next kin. And so it's a very, very important subject. And I think that we don't in the global north, it doesn't impinge on us as much because we don't have the cotton growing here. We don't have the effluent from those toxic factories in our waterways. We don't have the dumping grounds. We don't, you know, that's all just pushed to the global south. And so we, it doesn't impact our lives that we just carry on consuming. Whereas, I don't have the number in my head, but the amount of water that is used, for example, in producing one pair of denims could be drinking water. For an entire family, yes, for a year. And you know, it's just so out of balance, but it just doesn't impinge on us here. So we are not driven hard enough to make those changes.
Uh-huh. Wow, so many things are just...
Brewing.
So let's shift the discussion perhaps to young adults. You know, I know that you're involved with our youngsters, one of our institutions here in Malta, so I'm sure you're very much exposed to what they feel, what they like, what they dislike, and if they, you know, if they're happy to get involved in fashion, upcycling, sewing, you know, because obviously there's so much more, not just design, but even you know, using a sewing machine and knowing how to use it well. So what do you think the generation here in Malta, how are the youngsters that you've been exposed to, what are the interests they're showing right now, and where would they like to see this evolve, if they would like to see it evolve in any way?
Well, obviously, because I get the people generally coming to the shop, which are already converts, converted. But I do get the literally they come to the shop and they will announce that I'm a virgin, you know, and they start their journey with it. I think that one lucky thing about a lot of the youngsters in Malta is they almost all got a nana which can sew.
Yes.
It's a big advantage in your
upcycling. I can confirm that. I had two. Well, now not anymore, but yes.
So if you've just got a mind and you've got a nana, then you're halfway there to your own fashion career. I'm really looking forward to getting this, to seeing what this new, a batch of young MCAS fashion students are going to be going into the world with, because I have spoken to many of them, and obviously they come into the shop, and there's a very good mindset, I think.
There's a lot of potential as well, let's face it, because with the current trends in environmental concerns, awareness,
exactly,
it's surely growing.
It's definitely
surely growing.
Absolutely growing, yes. And but still, I think that it's not mainstream. It's still the selected young people which travel, which parents have traveled and talk about, you know, the what's happening in the markets abroad. It's still not mainstream, that'll still take a little while. But I partook in a fashion show run by Sarah Portelli, and there was a number of young, let's call them maker designers, which are, you know, sort of forging the way, which is really, really great to see.
Sure. That's really nice. I mean, watching them get involved and grow, I think that's what you get to see. You get to see a bit of growth, right? Maybe they start off like, really, what's happening here? And then eventually start to understand why it's so important and perhaps understand their own skills.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we possibly all have some skill set when it comes to upcycling our own clothes. I mean, then it's a question of how far can you develop that skill and use it to its fullness, I guess.
I think so, and that's why I've had a number of workshops where it was literally come for fun.
Yeah.
And I actually have a story of my ambassador, Vienna Rose. She's a gorgeous young girl, which accidentally came into my shop. She was like, oh, what's happening? And then she completely got inspired. And this is somebody who had never been into a secondhand shop. Uh-huh. And she had a handful of things. And she said, oh, no, she said, I've just spent my money at Zara. I said, well, you run back and take it back. She came back with her money. And then she came so often to my shop, I said, you have to change that mindset. Yes. You're just transferring it. It's the mindset. And slowly as we had met, obviously I've taken loads of photos and we've done videos together, and she became a vegan. And then I said to her one day, stop buying. You can use whatever you want. Just TikTok it. Just do some. Yes. And then she was proudly doing that. And I said, Vienna, you can't just showcase the clothes. You have to tell the story. So as she started to tell the story, the young ones would, oh, hi, we follow Vienna. And now we want to see what's going on. And that's the sort of conversations that I'm really proud of instigating and having the proper conversations and the dialogue and that growth. And I have a lot of young people, which I absolutely adore, and they come and they tell me their stories, and it's really fantastic. Yes.
And our youngsters, show this passion for fashion, which I absolutely love. They really do have a passion for fashion. And if it's used wisely, if that energy is used in a different way, it's so refreshing to watch, I guess. So yes, I can really highly commend you for the work you're doing. And can you please talk to us a bit more about these workshops? So what happens in the workshop setting?
There's different types of workshops, and I've got some new ones coming up, but it's in the workshop for fun. It's literally come along and I'll have a bunch of clothes you can pull and scratch and find something which inspires you. And there's a facilitator which will help you come up with a kind of idea, and you just go for it. And if it fails, it's okay. You know, just take something else, just try. But it's that feeling of this is what it feels like to cut up a garment. And I mean, it is like kind of scary. Like even in my shop, like I see something being hanging on a rail for months. And then I just take the scissors to cut it in half and boom, sells, you know. So it's this kind of just amazing. These workshops were designed just for people to come and just,
Get a feel of a button cut, something like that.
Yeah, what it feels like to actually just cut up a garment and to run it through a machine and see how you go. But I think that I've got some other workshops coming up and
good. Yeah. That's very good. So I mean, eventually perhaps we could also put some more information if you'd like and see where public can follow the work that you're doing, so maybe you can have more people attend if you like.
I'd really love it. It's a lot of fun and a lot of fails, but that's also how you learn.
Yes, and your workshops are being held in Malta, correct?
I've had workshops in Malta and
Goto. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. All right, that would surely be something that people will ask. So that's brilliant. And so behind this concept of moving past fast fashion and trying to understand why a second-hand item is also a good item and the taboos that surround this, you know, that perhaps need to be broken a bit here. What do you suggest? What's the first step? And what attracted you at first to... Was there a phase in your life when you were a shopper, right, and suddenly shifted? You said you stopped buying 2 years ago?
No.
Was it more than that?
I've been thrifting and dumpster diving since I was a teenager, and sometimes it was financial and other times. But I think that I've always been very... Well, especially when I was young, I was, like, super out there with my style. And why I loved to go, and why I think young people would like to go, because I think there's something so fun about finding something in yourself that you can show. And we forget that when we were young, when we were three and when we were two, how we played the different roles. We would be the princess and then we'd be the doctor, and you know how we used the clothes to tell different stories about ourselves, and how fun it was to dress up. And I think that the first step is if you're uncertain, just find a thrift shop, just find a secondhand shop and go and play, try things on, try like, oh, this is completely not my comfort zone, but let me see what it feels like to wear it.
Yes.
And that just gives you an idea of how fun it is. And I think that's the first step, is to realize, first of all, that it's fun, and then you get to also to really create.
Yes.
You get to be creative. But I think also a lot of people are sort of wondering about, in terms of money, like how does it compare to fast fashion? Because I still do have people coming into the shop and saying, yeah, but I can get two of those at Zara for the same price.
Uh-huh.
I said, no, you can't. I say, like, then you go ahead and buy. And I think it is, the thing is that when you start understanding a little bit about textiles, and you turn a garment around and have a look at the seams and how the seams, and is there zip and the quality of the buttons.
Yes.
And you start to understand a little bit about it. So something maybe half the price at Zara, or I keep on saying Zara, which is a bit unfair, but at a fast fashion house, you know, you don't find good woolen, you don't find a good cashmere, you don't find something, and those are the textiles that are really going to last.
Uh-huh.
The polyesters, I get bags of that stuff coming into my shop all the time, and bags and bags, and I don't get that much wool because people hang on to
their quality products.
Exactly. Uh-huh. You repair them and they just last and last.
Like,
so yes, I would really encourage the young people either to, if they even like to go one step back and just to go and look at it on the internet.
Yes.
Go and look what's happening in Europe. And some of those internet sites, and see how cool it is, and try and follow some Instagrammers which are maybe sustainable, taking that route, and it'll give them a feeling of what it looks like and what it feels like. And then the next step is to actually venture out into one of those stores and start to play a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And actually another thing I could recommend is to go into your mum's wardrobe, go into your granny's wardrobe, go into your grandpa's wardrobe, in fact.
Right.
A lot of young girls will tell me this belonged to granddad, or and pull those things out and have fun with your mum, have fun with your and see what that feels like.
Yes. One important thing you've mentioned, which is quality. Quality of some clothes produced today, as opposed to clothes produced 10, 15 years ago. There's a big difference.
A huge difference. And I think that you could probably remember, like when I was in my 20s, it was Benetton was a boss, and there were some like really great brands, and the quality was absolutely fantastic. But what has happened is many of these brands have now shifted their manufacture to Global South, and also they no longer are small houses. You get in-house shops everywhere.
Uh-huh.
It's the quantity and the quality which has really gone down. And even, for example, Burberry, whereas they used to produce that in Wales, and now it's produced in Global South. And they're still, obviously, the top labels, and then there's the general label.
The general label.
Yes, and people still don't get that. And they think if it's got Burberry, or if it's got Ralph Lauren on it, it's really great. But not. I get so much of the cheap Ralph Lauren, like house brands, they call them.
Uh-huh.
The quality is not much different to any of the other fast fashion brands. You really are going to pay a lot of money if you're going to go to the select stores or their flagship stores to get the real product. So, I think that...
So I think what you were saying before, the lesson of understanding, checking the seams, the textile, what's inside, lining, buttons, this is something that would benefit everyone.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And if you I've got clothes which I mean are literally 20 years old, and okay, maybe they are a little bit worn, but I still love them.
Uh-huh.
I still love wearing them, and the condition is good. See.
Yes.
But it keeps me warm. It's got a small hole in it.
I'm sure we all have. I think all the listeners have an item in their closet that they love and live in and do everything in this one woolen. I'm sure we all have that. So I think it's quite interesting to understand that there's a whole cycle in clothes. So apart from the normal cycle that we know, so there's a designer, materials are chosen, and then selecting, then the selection process, and there's fitting, cutting, and so on. There's a model and so on. So not just that cycle, but the cycle that goes on behind big shopping houses, where you can understand where these products are coming from and who is producing and where are they being produced. So there's a geographical understanding, there is a community behind that production, and who's benefiting and who's not benefiting, and I think, you know, so there's a big discussion that I think we really should take, especially now.
I think that this is something which a lot of young people are becoming quite outspoken about, many things like women's rights, animals' rights, and I think that if you are having those discussions, you need to look a little bit deeper, because the fashion industry are constantly chasing the cheaper labor, and usually those countries where those are produced don't have union rights. So if you are an activist and you're saying that women should be equal, women should, then think about where you're buying your clothes, because there's a mother there which cannot feed her children, which cannot educate them, and perpetuates those cycles.
Sure.
So so yes, I think that we really. Really have to start asking ourselves, like when we make a purchase, where it's coming from, and think about who actually has made that item, and
sometimes we're so geographically distanced from these places that it becomes hard to assimilate, to understand. But one of the things I know I developed in the past perhaps 10 years is always to look at the labels. The first thing I look at inside the fabric, see what the fabric is about and why and how should I wash it and care for it. It's one of my first concerns, really. But I think what happened is that I became more conscious about the material that I was putting on my skin, like one of the first things. And I remember, you know, certain fabrics, first of all, aren't considered as very healthy to wear all day. I mean, even the contact and the type of fabric, really, if there's a dye as well in the material, which isn't so healthy too. I mean, I can't remember which exactly, so you might know more about this than me. But I became more conscious about which material to put on my skin and which not, and which shouldn't be there, you know. And that was the first thing. I think the second thing I started to understand more about, for example, which clothes can be washed together and which not, and more research then surfaced, and I started to understand, so it means that if I wash certain colors and dyes, isn't this going to get into the water stream, something like that. So that set me thinking. I'm like, I think I should understand, you know, more about the quality of the material from where I've shopped this particular item. Like, could you mention denim, for example, some of it is bleached and some of it is dyed and so on, which can seep into our water system when we wash them. So I think it was a progress. And then slowly, I started to interest myself in this vintage / secondhand items, because having lived in England for a couple of years, I mean, the trend was quite something that, you know, you'd find a whole street full of shops in that way. And I remember it was a friend of mine, she introduced me to the concept. You know, she's like, listen, have a chat. You want to go have a coffee? Like, and then we can walk past these shops. I'm like, okay. But I never, to be truthful, I never stopped to see what was there. But I remember the first time, like, walking through. I mean, they had a good standard, and they kept the shop spotless, and it was, you know, they had cool. A really pretty shop window with very some trendy items, I would say. But they also had good systems behind the concept, in the sense that, for example, they had. There were some, first of all, some of them were foundations for health concerns, like, so the proceeds would go to cancer research and other research, not just cancer research, but So there was a good, strong push for that. But apart from that, they also, the people they recruited to work in the systems were people who were going through, for example, transitions in life. You know, perhaps they were moving jobs, so they wanted to give themselves some space. Or even youngsters who had just finished graduation and they were going to start a job, but sometimes, you know, you take some time off mm-hmm. before you figure out where you want to go. So the concept I felt was strong because it was ticking many boxes. Mm. So it was ticking the concept that you're looking at items for a second look and for a second use. You're including a community which could benefit from a short period of time working there and learning more. But apart from that, it's really exposing yourself to the needs of why we need this in society. Mm. Why is it so important? I mean, why should I choose walking into this shop versus another shop that is displaying new items, you know? And I think one of the things that struck me most is I've had some great friends in life, different ages and different groups. And I've had some friends of mine who, you know, you tell them, listen, my goodness, this thing has broken down. Okay, let's try fix it. So there was always a concept that I'd like to fix it first. And perhaps the question is, has this idea been transferred to younger generations? I mean, to me, it hasn't, I can tell you. I don't know what happens along the way. It did not. But apart from these close friends of mine whose first call is, okay, let's fix it rather than let's replace it. It's very much, I think, the driving force behind the bigger concept of fashion, gadgets, and so many other things. Like, because then you can take it to other dimensions, to other products. You know what I mean?
But you must remember that yes, we used to fix things, but then we could. And there's been like there's coming new rules, especially in England now, about certain items which have to be repairable. But there's been a long time where things have been designed not to be repairable. So it's everything has been designed around the throwaway culture, and it's only now with the emerging of the new thinkers is how to start changing that. How can we make things which can be repaired and fixed? Mm-hmm. But I think there's been a long gap where we've literally been told that sorry, throw
it away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm laughing, but it's really not funny. But because I mean, we do throw away a lot. I mean, look at our separation system. I say, my goodness, is it almost a bag every other day, or can I drop this by half? I mean, it's true, but things come in boxes, and boxes come in plastic, and plastic comes in some other bigger plastic.
But I was thinking about the other day, even when we look at our own garbage and we think, oh, that's how much waste we created. No, it's not. If you just think about your day, oh, this pen finished, throw it away, some tape, some, you know, as we go through the day, it's just... It is mind-blowing. Yeah.
And then the coffee cup, and then the water bottle, and then the scrap of paper, and then the pen that's finished.
Yeah, exactly. As we go through the day, if you had to start telling that up, it would be quite terrifying. Yeah,
I think so. And I think when we start to look at our garbage bags, when we take them out in the morning, we start to realize, oh my goodness, can I reduce this by half? So I think if we had to really see how much clothing we're throwing away every second, a truck of clothes.
Yeah,
like, I mean, it's crazy.
I think that I'm hoping that dumpster diving is going to come to Malta, because it's very popular abroad. Mm. And I had a young girl which stayed with me, a designer, and she came back and she had some t-shirts she was making up. I said, oh cool, where did you get those? And she said, no, I went dumpster diving. So she had found them somewhere. I think it's fantastic. I'm a latent dumpster diver. I used to do that all the time.
So for the faint-hearted, I think. Right?
No, you have to be,
really.
But even now, if I go past a skip and I see like a little bit of fabric hanging out, this curtain or beautiful Maltese fabric, I'm in there. Mm-hmm. I've salvaged so much textiles from skips here. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I remember one of my first... I did attend some sewing lessons, by the way. I loved it. But one of the first things she taught us, our tutor at the time, was whatever piece of material you find, collect it. Put it all in a bag and drag this bag with you wherever you go so that you can try and test different, machine pattern, machine, you know.
Stitches.
Stitches, yeah. And so then I became more conscious about little bits and bobs of material. So this can be cut and this can be removed. I was very scissor happy, by the way. Very scissor happy. So I was like, okay, this is exciting. But I think it's really when you really have a drive and a passion and you love it and you can transfer that love to those around you, I think it will pick on. Because I think that's what people want to see in reality. They want to see someone in love with the concept.
Yeah.
And they want to see it in practice. I guess a lot of learning comes from not just teaching, but from owning something. Owning, not as an owner of just a business, but because you own the process and you own the belief in the system. Exactly. And I think that is what helps infiltrate classrooms, societies, communities, you know, and everything else, families.
I think that now, when I think about new designs or designers, if somebody has come to you and said, "Oh, I'd really like a jacket," and you know what, I really love roses, and purple's my favorite color, and you get a jacket, maybe it's got your initial on it, it's got purple, it's got the roses, you're never going to throw that away.
Yeah.
Then, you know, if we start thinking about using the little local guy who fixes the belts and using,
yes.
you know, and it becomes a wholesome community,
mm-hmm.
and a thriving, you know, yes. everybody doing their little part. But yeah, it's a long journey.
It is. I mean, the fact that I think youngsters are talking about it, and let's face it, I mean, when you're at university, you're still a student, you're very much budget restricted.
Mm.
So really, it's really a blessing in disguise if you think about it. But let's face it, families go through different budget eras or ages. Like, there are times when you're comfortable and times when it's a bit more, you know, difficult. And we also know that children, for example, go through fashion, I mean, not fashion, but clothes very fast. When they're growing 6 months to 9 months, before you know it, they're just out of something. So even I think there's a bracket of clothes there between the ages of months to 4-year-old, something like that, where you've got a very fast change. There's a very fast turnover of clothes.
Yeah.
So even just there alone, I've had friends that surely told me, listen, I've bought nothing for my young yeah. ones, because friends just gave me suitcases filled with fashion, with clothes for their young ones, which is amazing. Just hearing these stories is really, really fantastic, because I'm like, wow, that's really amazing. Why should you buy anything at that age? Anyway, everything's washable. And, you know, items were practically brand new,
yeah,
you know, handed down items for young kids were practically brand new. So it was really, really fantastic to watch some of my friends just, you know, use items over and over and hand them
down
to other friends.
That's fantastic.
It's really, really amazing. And it was really lovely to see that at a time when, you know, you can use money wisely and use it for food and use it for nourishing your loved ones, rather than use it to buy things that eventually you're going to throw away, clothes that you can't reuse because, you know, the child grows out of them. So that's even quite encouraging. So apart from that, I think this throwaway culture that you mentioned before and which is really something we need to push past and understand.
I think that's
why we're, you know, I think many people have come to realization that it's real pity to throw away and that items have been designed to be thrown away. I agree with you completely, because I have noticed things in my household that can't be.
It's cheaper to replace.
It's cheaper to throw away. Let's take something like a printer today.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. Your technician will say, listen, forget fixing this, just buy a new one. You know what I mean? So even stuff like that is really thrown away. So back to the clothes concern. I just briefly, you know, recall some of the points that you mentioned, which was the upcycling. So looking at clothes which can be improved once again or ask someone to give ideas on how to improve clothing, you know?
There are some young people which are doing sewing courses are just invaluable, and they're so fun and they're so good for mental health. Mm-hmm. And with the upcycling, I'm hoping that more young people are going to would like to showcase their stuff or sell their stuff, and that I could help them through my shop.
Yes.
Because I want to in my shop, I want to have more upcycled clothing and be that like gap for the young people to sell their stuff and to show their stuff and
Sure. You mentioned the workshops. You also mentioned the shop in Gozo. Can you give us a bit more information about your shop in Gozo? So where can we find you? I still have to come up, by the way. I know we didn't mention this last time.
It's tiny, and it's in Palm Street. There's a palm tree, so you can't miss it. It's in Victoria.
P-A-L-M, right?
Yeah.
In Victoria. I'm taking your address down, Ogun. All right, that's brilliant.
Yeah, and what I try to do is I try to have... I've really built up my men's collection because there are many more men or young guys which are starting to jump onto mm-hmm. the secondhand and vintage. But I try to have a variety of prices. I have like 3 euro rail outsides. I have sometimes, if you come on a lucky day when I'm sorting out, I'll say, here's a bag, fill it up. take it. But there's a good price range, and I do have some luxury goods. That's not my main thing, but I get some really good things, and so it's a full price range.
Brilliant. You also mentioned Instagram. So for using Instagram to follow some key people who really believe in the concept, because I think, as we said before, like-minded people draw other like-minded people.
Yes.
And the concept, as you're saying, which is also something which can help others understand why. Like, so it really ties in perfectly with the workshop concept, I feel, where people can first experience the clothes, the fabrics, try, cut, test, you know, tear things apart and rebuild and try and see. Because some people might actually have
a talent there.
That's it.
Exactly.
That's it.
And I've seen young people without any learned skills make really incredible stuff.
Amazing.
And I think that also, it's worthwhile for young people. They can jump on activist groups like the OR Foundation,
yes.
Fashion Revolution. There's hundreds of these, and they're doing really good work, Thread Up, and to really find out what's going on and what the conversations are and where the fights are. And like, if you're a feisty one, jump on one of them. Yes.
The activist groups and get cracking.
Fashion Revolution Week is coming up soon, and Fashion Revolution Malta is going to. I'm on their team, and we're going to be having some action, and we're inviting everybody to join.
There's a lot. Wow. There's a lot to take in. And the fact that I'm really happy to have had you here, because we can, you know, speak about this, and you've brought your experience to the table as well, and possibly experience that you've mastered internationally and brought to Malta. Your shop is called Vogue Exchange, right? That's in Gozo. So now we know where that is too. So we can all come and find you. We're very happy to also have hosted you and explain to us a bit about the workshops that you're hosting here with the young ones. And possibly, perhaps, even at university, it would be nice to see some more of this activity take place. I encourage many of our youths to ask questions and look up and understand what's behind the fashion world that has consumed us all. Let's face it, we've all been attracted by the latest shows and models and trends and items. So I think we're all there, so we all understand it. But I think it's now a time to reinvent ourselves, you know, and
exactly.
Understand that, listen, okay, you know, this is done, but there's more we can do, and there's more that we can invest in rather than extract raw materials and just dump them back.
And it's not like a diet where it's like painful. It's actually a fun journey.
Uh-huh. I think so, because you can explore what you like, what you dislike, and others who shared the ideas, colors, concepts, styles, and so on. All right, so we're going to slowly close off. Thank you very much for your time. I'm very, very happy to have had you here. I'm going to switch to Maltese just for a quick second, just to thank everyone. So, najt grazzi l-Semija tagħna l-lum l-aħħar program ta' sostenibilità. Nirringrazzjakom tal-li kontu magħna, tal-messaġġi wkoll li ħallituli personalment fuq il-programm u s-suġġett li kkanverja speċi f'daw l-aħħar ġimgħat. Nixtieqilkom sena tajba u nawgura l-kulħadd paċi u slim. Grazzi ta' kollox.